all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I have the honor of talking to you on Veterans Radio this afternoon, and a beautiful afternoon it is, finally. We're going to be talking about books today and beach reading, and the reason that we came up with this idea is that last week I got to spend a little time on the Jersey Shore, and I thought, wow, maybe we should tell people what they should read. And of course, being here on Veterans Radio, we get books sent to us all the time. We really greatly appreciate that, and we'd like to try and read them all, but sometimes that's impossible. So today I've asked two experts to come on the program, and we're going to get to them in just a minute after we take our first break. But we've got Dwight Zimmerman and Bob Doerr, and they are reviewers and members of the Military Writers Society of America, and they're just going to give us their input on what they think might be some good summer reading for veterans and their families out there. And I'm going to throw in my two bits on a couple of books that I would recommend. But first, we've got just two announcements we're going to do today. Number one is that coming up at the end of August is one of our favorite air shows here in the local area, and that is Thunder Over Michigan. So on August 29th and 30th at Willow Run Airport here in southeastern Michigan, there's going to be the Yankee Air Museum's Thunder Over Michigan. And this year's featured attractions are going to be the Navy's Blue Angels, precision flying team, which is going to be kind of cool to see. I encourage you to do that. There's going to be a demonstration by the United States Air Force of their F-16 jets, and they go faster than you can blink your eye, so you're going to have to pay attention. But there's going to be a demonstration by them. There's going to be a World War II battle reenactment, and also Mike Gullion, who is one of the premier, probably is the premier acrobatic pilot in the world today, is going to be there on both days. So for more information, you need to go to yankeeairmuseum.org to check out how you buy your tickets and where locations are, because there's parking, there's demonstrations, there's exhibits, all kinds of things. Pretty much every aircraft you can imagine is on display at the Yankee Air Museum. So we encourage you to get out there on August 29th and 30th for Thunder Over Michigan through the Yankee Air Museum. That's yankeeairmuseum.org. Don't miss it. We're going to be there. Hopefully we'll run into you. Say hey. The other thing was that I was watching the news the other day, and my wife suggested that I watch C-SPAN. Now, I know what you say about C-SPAN, but C-SPAN is pretty cool if you want to see stuff live. And the stuff I got to see was a program about the United States of America's Vietnam War Commemoration Committee that has been set up, and all of our big politicians were there, and I don't know how... You know, they sounded very sincere. Let's just leave it at that. But they were talking about the contribution, of course, that all of you Vietnam veterans have made out there over the last 50 years. And the idea is, again, this is the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. But they've come up with a commemorative button now, sort of, one of those combat-type buttons that you put on your hats or on your shirts and uniforms and that type of thing. And so we're trying to find out where we can get a hold of those, but I haven't been able to find that right away. But for a lot of information, great information, actually, about the Vietnam War, about the proclamations that are going on right now at this time, and, of course, all the politicians are being very nice to veterans, and we're hoping that they will continue to be nice to veterans right up to and past the election. Because, you know, here at Veterans Radio, we try to stay as apolitical as possible, but the only thing that we ask of our politicians is that they tell us the truth and they follow through on what they say. Now, we know that that can be difficult sometimes, so it's up to us to keep their feet at the fire, and we're going to make sure that they come through with some of the things that they've been talking about, veterans' benefits, and, oh, that just reminds me. But before I get to that, though, make sure for this information, you can go to a website. It's VeteranWar50th.com. It says Veteran War, the number 50th.com, for a lot of great information. Backtracking a little bit, speaking of benefits, next week on Veterans Radio, the program is going to be all about benefits. Benefits, benefits, benefits. Where you can go, what you need to know about VA loans, what you need to know about the new GI bills, what you need to know about getting health care at the VA, what you need to know about if your claim, how to file a claim, if your claim is denied, how you can fight that denial. We're going to have our partner and experts here. We're going to have Jim Falson of Legal Help for Veterans is going to be here. His wife was an amazing veterans advocate out there, Carol Ann Falson, a general, United States Air Force retired, will be here in the studio, I'm hoping. And we're going to answer all your questions about benefits, maybe point out some benefits that you're not even aware of. So make sure that you tune in to Veterans Radio next week. That's July 19th at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And send your questions to Dale or Bob at Veterans Radio, and we'll try to get them answered. And also on the program, you can give us a call when we're on the air. Here in Southeast Michigan, the phone number is 734-822-1600. So make sure that you've got something to write down next week here on Veterans Radio. But first, we're going to be taking a break, and we're going to come back with Dwight Zimmerman and Bob Doerr talking about summer reading for veterans. You're listening to Veterans Radio. Safe and hardworking over-the-road truck drivers deserve modern and well-maintained equipment they can count on. Conway Truckload has purchased over 500 new Kenworth T680s with twin-screw axle drives, automated manual transmission, and other features that improve handling and comfort. Take a virtual tour of the equipment on truetoblue.com/equipment. Speak to a recruiter and apply to drive for Conway Truckload by calling 866-WORK4US. That's 866, the word work, the number 4, and the U.S. Continuing the theme of the Thunder over Michigan right there with the Air Force theme. And welcome back to Veterans Radio. And joining me on the line right now are two of my guests. First of all, I'm going to bring on Dwight Zimmerman. Dwight, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, hi. It's so much fun to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. How are things going on in Brooklyn?
Oh, it's great. We got wonderful weather. It's seasonably warm, but it's not horrendously hot or humid. You know, that'll probably happen soon enough, especially in August.
That's true.
How about you guys? You know, have you been getting all that, smoking everything from the wildfires up north and west?
No, we don't get that. We finally are drying out, though, from the torrential rains that we've had over the last couple of weeks. But everything is just hunky-dory and beautiful out here. And we're going to be talking with Dwight a little bit later about his newest book, one of my favorite actors in the world. In fact, we're hooked on him right now with Wanted Dead or Alive. So I'll leave it right there. For all of you that are probably over 55 or 60, you'll know what Wanted Dead or Alive was and still is. So, but Dwight is current president of the Military Writers Society of America and is a prolific writer, an award-winning writer. And so we're going to be talking with him about some of his suggestions for books that veterans and their families might be interested in reading over the summer or at any time. And if you have any suggestions out there, let me remind you to give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 734-822-1600, or you can call us toll-free, absolutely free, at 844-838-1600, 844-VET-1600. And joining me on our other line is another impressive and great author, is Bob Doerr. Bob, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very happy to be talking to you today, Dale. And like I said, I just hope I can offer some good advice and information to your listeners.
Well, let's give our listeners a little background on you. You've been on our program in the past, I know.
Right.
And tell me about some of the books that you have written.
I have 6 books out in a mystery series with a main character called Jim West. If you not the James West of the old Western series and all, but Jim West. I also have a standalone international thriller, and I'm working on a second one in that series. And then I have 3 books that are out that I wrote. 2 of them I wrote with the assistance of my granddaughter, and they're for, say, 8 to 12-year-old readers. They're fantasy suspense novellas more than a big book.
Okay. So how did you get involved with the military writers?
Well, when I was a new writer, I was trying to find organizations and associations and ways to kind of market myself, but also to learn from others. And when I did some homework on the society, I really liked what I saw on the internet. And when I went to the first convention I went to was in Pittsburgh about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I just enjoyed working with them, learning from them, and being part of the organization.
And so now you are reviewing books for them as well.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's most appreciated. Dwight, tell me, give us a little history of the Military Writers Society of America, would you?
I'd be happy to. Military Writers Society of America was founded by Reverend Bill McDonald, a Vietnam War veteran, and its foundation is to use writing as a therapeutic means, you know, to help veterans. And not just, obviously it started with Vietnam War veterans,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, recognizing that in, you know, that writing can be a means of getting out all the psychological struggles, you know, that, Gail, you know, as a Vietnam veteran, you know, I'm sure you can add your perspective on this. I have to step back for a moment and say, I'm a civilian. I've never served in the military, but I, you know, from the get-go, and you know, I've always been a supportive of our military. And when my writing career took off, one of the things that I was happy about was that I was able to use my skill to be able to tell, so, you know, the stories of these people. And the highest compliment I ever received was when a few years back I was delivering a lecture at West Point, and after getting a standing ovation from the entire cadet class. And let me tell you, that was a humbling experience.
It
was 7,000 plus people who, you know, are going into harm's way, are applauding you for one of the books that you wrote. So when I went back to the table to eat, and I just said, "Why did you guys do that?" And they said, "Because you tell our story for us."
Well, and that's really important.
Talk about burden. So with Military Writers Society of America, this is the sort of thing where Bill McDonald set up this organization to help veterans, you know, tell their stories. And it's not looking at necessarily, you know, published with, you know, the big houses or anything, mm-hmm. but just to get it out. Now, whether it winds up being this manuscript that is only distributed with families and friends, or is, you know, a self-published thing or regional published thing, the whole idea was to tell the story. And to any of the listeners out there, please, if you're, you know, if what we say about the Military Writers Society of America, and Bob, you know, add your, you know, comments too, I really encourage you to go to our website. Though I have to say, it is under, we are reconstructing it right now. So in the next few weeks, there will be a new website updated with
new and improved,
you know,
right?
Yeah.
New and improved.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, but right now you can just Google Military Writers Society and it will take you to their existing website. And there's so much information on there.
Yes.
And we have we at Veterans Radio have become very involved with the military writers. I've had the privilege of going to a number of your conferences and meeting incredible writers, and mostly incredible people, and then secondly incredible writers. And they have the ability to get the stories out and get them out correctly and honestly and meaningfully, and that's what we've been, you know, what we've been all about here on Veterans Radio, is to try and get these stories out, you know, truthfully, before somebody comes along. And no offense to any outside writers, but sometimes they have a tendency to be, you know, to embellish or be, you know, a little bit more creative sometimes than the actual story is. But I think it's a great opportunity for our listeners to find a list of just amazing stories, not only about the veterans, but about veterans' families, about the children of veterans and some of the issues that they've had to go through with their lives. In fact, I'm sure that we'll probably talk about a couple of books that I know of from the military writers of children that found dad's or mom's letters and turned them into books that were just heart-wrenching, and I think will help a lot of people understand their parents from both sides, those that went to war and those that stayed at home. But I suppose we better
You're quite right, Dale. And I have to say that one of the things I'm so immensely proud of with the organization is that you're looking at the genres from children's books, all the way up to adult. Some of the most moving books that I've read have actually been directed at children. Sandra Linhart with her series of Boots books. And it addresses a very real issue of families with deployment. Mother goes off to Afghanistan or wherever. And so the family is, separated.
Right. Yeah.
And, so you have mommy's boots, daddy's boots, father goes out. I have been so impressed with the depth of, the writers who are members, they bring to the table every aspect, every concern that people in the military, active or veteran, and their families, because they were a part of it. That I was accepted was one of the most thrilling moments in my professional career. Because I said, I'm an outsider, as I said.
Yeah, but you
tell I'm a civilian, but I
you tell a good story, Dwight. And that's
I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead.
You tell a good story, and that's what's important. And many of your books have done that, and the same with Bob's also. Let's start looking at some of these books that the two of you have come up with, and I might throw a couple of them in there myself. Bob, we're talking with Bob Doerr and Dwight Zimmerman of the Military Writers Society, and Bob sent me a list of a couple, and one of them was called A Yankee in Atlanta by Jocelyn Green. Can you tell me a little bit about The Yankee in Atlanta?
Yes. Can I mention a few minutes about the reading list that we do for
sure.
The association or the society?
Yep.
And then go into it. Every quarter I put together a reading list for the Military Writers Society, and it's made up of about 20 books, and that's a rough number. It could be 25, it could be 15, that have been reviewed during that quarter and get a high enough score to go on our reading list. We have many, many books that come in all the time for review. And they could be children's books, they could be books of poetry, they could be works of fiction, mysteries like I write, or history on the military, historical fiction, or whatever. So we look at all these, and from them we come up with a quarterly reading list that gets posted on our website and goes into our newsletter called Dispatches. And what I drew out for you and for the group today was three books, one that was specifically on this list, and then two from a prior list to kind of give you a feel for the types of books we get and what people are writing about out there and that your readers might want to look into.
Okay.
The first one, Yankee in Atlanta, is a historical fiction book. It's written by Jocelyn Green, and it's actually the third book in a series. She refers to it, calls The Heroines Behind the Lines. It takes place during the Civil War. And in this book, the third book, the heroine, I have a hard time saying that word, finds herself in Atlanta. She's actually a Yankee from New York, and she's through a bunch of misadventures and adventures ended up in Atlanta at the end of the Civil War. And she's trying to live her life there and survive, basically, pretending to be a transplant, Irish transplant to the South with no connections to the North, when in reality she has a lot of connections and involvement with the North in the past. And the book goes through her trials and tribulations and efforts to survive Sherman's march through Atlanta and the kind of the end years or end months of the Civil War. It's a very interesting book. and it's one that I think if people like historical fiction, and there's some romance in this for the readers that like a little bit of romance, should pick this book up and check it out. It's a very interesting and it's a good read.
Okay, I go along with that one. I drove through Gettysburg the other day in Pennsylvania when I was coming home from New Jersey, and that era just is so interesting, I think, to all of us who want to know the history of America, whether it's a fictionalized version or, you know, nonfiction. I think the stories are so just intriguing.
And they're well researched too. They're good books.
You know, when you think about what America had to go through during that time period, and appropriately in the news, and we're still fighting some of the battles today.
Right.
Is that it's these books, I think, are always relevant, always relevant. So that was off our list is The Yankee in Atlanta by Jocelyn Green.
Okay. Right. Second one, and I'm not sure I have them here in front of me. I'm not sure which ones I mentioned to you second, but it's a book called Red Markers. It's a very different type of book, and it's one I highly recommend to people who are interested in reading about the Vietnam War, or basically the close air support mission that the Air Force has, and the Army has also had in the past. Red Markers is a book written by Gary N. Willis, and it looks at the organization, the Red Marker organization of the Air Force people who took care of the close air support for the Vietnamese military, the Vietnamese airborne, and its American advisors in the South. It wasn't the close air support to the U.S. fighting troops. It was for the Vietnamese airborne. And it looked over a 12-year period that they were there. It started off with a single individual, and then the group grew up to about 36 people at one time, and then it went got a lot smaller as the war came down. And what makes this interesting is he went out, he contacted all the Red Marker pilots and crew members and ground crew that he could to make inputs, and he got inputs from over 76 of the men that were there supporting the mission. That's roughly half of all the people who were there wrote to him and gave him feedback, and so he compiled that. And the book is chronologically put together with numerous pictures and inputs from, like I said, all these people. It makes for a very interesting read, and it's something that should be and probably is right now in some of the military history libraries and archives. But anyway, it's called Red Markers. It's about the Vietnam War and the close air support for the Vietnamese airborne from 1962 to 1975, and it's by Gary Willis.
Gary Willis. Now, are these the little bird dog planes that they're talking about?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay.
They're the small one propeller, but over time they went into I know it had O-1s, O-2s, and OV-10s,
right.
And they started off with the most basic ones, and obviously as the airplanes improved, they got better airplanes. They went, you know, to the O-2. I don't know, I have to admit this, I read this a little while ago, if they ever actually got to the OV-10s like the Americans had on working for the American troops.
Well, I'm looking at the book cover, and for our audience, it looks like your basic Piper Cub. So these
right,
are, these
right.
Are, these
that's,
were,
yeah. That's at the very beginning, and then it slowly evolved to a better airplane.
These are the men that would fly around these planes that didn't go over 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Ever.
It didn't go very high.
Even downhill.
Right.
And, exactly right.
And
would just, you know, throw out these red markers, or in many cases different colored grenades, to smoke grenades to mark a target. And they were low and slow and major. They were major targets. We got about 3 minutes to go, Dwight. So I'm going to get one from you. What have we got?
I would like to recommend, leaving aside my book.
Yes.
Because I always talk to them. I have to talk about member Philip Keith, Firebase Illingworth, The Epic True Story of a Remarkable Courage Against Staggering Odds. That book, I was asked to do a quote, and I'm just going to summarize that quote because we have so little time. It's an incredible story, one in which the high command deliberately sets as bait deep inside enemy territory near the Cambodian border, an undermanned and inadequately fortified firebase combined of a lash-up of disparate units that never had worked together before. The result was a 20th century Alamo waiting to happen. Philip Keith's meticulous research and powerful narrative skills are at their peak in this extraordinary story of horror and heroism in the jungles of Vietnam. He was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just absolutely in awe. He has won the Silver Medal from the Military Writers Society of America, and I am hoping that he's written some additional books, and I so hope that he wins the gold, because
we gotta see what happens.
He is just such a powerful writer. So, and this book is Firebase Illingworth.
B or a K? Billingworth or Killingworth?
Illing, Illingworth.
Oh, Illingworth. Okay, well, I'll have to look that one up, because that already does sound exciting. We've talked to people about that. We've got to be taking a break here, so we're going to go to the news, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about some more books and so forth. The one that I just want to mention real quickly was on just a couple of weeks ago, and that was Del Stacker with Sailor Man. It's a story of J.P. Nunley of the United States Navy and how he enlisted at 16, and he was in, I think, every major battle in the Pacific. So go into our archives, folks, at veteransradio.net and look for the book Sailor Man. This is an incredible read. I've given away 5 copies already, so people really like that. So we're going to be taking a break to listen to the news and a little bit of information. We're going to run one of our Medal of Honors, and then we'll be back with our guests, Bob Doerr, Dwight Zimmerman from the Military Writers of America. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking books, books, books today. Books to read on the beach, books to read in your backyard, sitting in your Adirondack chair, drinking a nice cold beverage and smoking a cigar. So make sure that you pay attention, because we've got some really great ones that we want to mention to you. We've already talked about a couple of books. We've had The Yankee in Atlanta by Jocelyn Green. We've had The Red Markers by Gary Willis. And we've had Firebase Illingworth by Philip Keith. And Sailor Man by Del Stacker. So those are only a few of these. And all of these are going to be up on our Veterans Radio website as soon as I can get them up there. But I think it's and also you can go to the Military Writers Society's website. And guests are Dwight Zimmerman and Bob Doerr. And Dwight, where would they go on your site to find this list of reviewed books?
The website is MWSA Dispatches, DISPATCHES.com.
Right. And so where do we find your list of reviews?
You simply navigate through. Once you go to the homepage, you will see reviews, and then you just click on that prompt, and it will take you straight there.
Okie dokie. I have to find that spot, but I'll come back to that in a minute. All right. So, Bob, I'm going to come back to you.
Sure.
You had another book. Let's talk about that other one.
The other book I read and I was really fascinated by, it was called The Brown Condor by Thomas E. Simmons. It's about John C. Robinson, who is really, I hate to say he's the father of the Tuskegee Airmen. It may be too strong of a word. But he was a young black man who grew up in the South, very poor. His father was an auto mechanic, fixed everything. And he liked and learned how to fix things at a young age. And then he became very fascinated in airplanes. And from this fairly meager beginnings, he taught himself with the help of a few people how to fly. I guess a lot of people did back then before World War II. He had tremendous number of really kind of interesting adventures from then on. As a young black pilot who was very good at flying and became very well known because of his skills in a little school, flight school he started, Ethiopian, I call him the president. I don't know if he was a king back then, emperor, I guess he might have been called, Ethiopia, whatever, Haile Selassie, approached him, asked him to help build and lead his neophyte air force in Ethiopia, because he was smart enough to know that despite all the rhetoric by the League of Nations, everybody else, no one was going to probably stop Italy from invading his country. He saw that coming, and he was correct. So it's a story of Robinson's life from his like I said, early life to his untimely death in an airplane crash later on in his life. But between the history that's in it and the accounts that I think most people probably are simply unaware of, it's a very good read and very interesting. And I think most people who are interested in airplanes, Air Force history, should probably read it.
Well, there's a big enough recommendation, I think, that you should. All these books about pilots always fascinate me, or aircraft in general. And I was never I wasn't enamored, I guess, with flight as a kid, other than, you know, paper airplanes and all that other stuff, until I started flying a helicopter. And then I got very interested in many of the aircraft, especially the ones that I saw in Vietnam and the ones that are coming back. And the idea of pilots, especially these chase pilots or whatever, that flew a single ship, one pilot, no crew chief, nothing like that. If anything went wrong, you were responsible for the whole thing, and it just fascinates me with the strength and courage that many of these men and today women have in order to continue doing this. It's just it's fascinating to me.
I agree, especially back then when they had really not many navigational tools, and you just had to kind of do it off the seat of your pants. It was a lot of bravery to go do that.
I know. If any of you ever get the opportunity to look into a cockpit of a World War II plane, you're going to see about four dials, and that's about it. And one is a compass that may work and may not. So it is amazing that they and they flew such long distances, and got back to where they belong. Even just going back to London to me would be a challenge.
You're right.
Especially when you've been shot at for a number of hours and so forth. Dwight, what have we got from you?
Okay, a couple of things before I talk about my book, because I can't resist doing that.
No.
two. One is just the title alone: 365 Guns You Must Shoot. The most sublime, weird, and outrageous guns ever. I have to say, this is a, it's a provocative title, but it had me from the get-go. I never before thought about wanting to shoot a different firearm each day of the year, but, now suddenly it's like, yeah! And, T.J. Mullins, the author, is a respected firearms authority, former Army Infantry and Judge Advocate General Corps officer, and federal law enforcement agent. And, he has provided training programs in firearms usage for and associated tactical subjects to law enforcement agencies. The weapons from 35 countries, 365 weapons. You're talking about everything from like the Gatling gun, in the 19th century, to modern day. This wound up being one of these fascinating books for a gun enthusiast, where he's chapter and versing every. You're holding the thing. You're squeezing the trigger. It's trigger pull. It's handling. Whole nine yards, and I found myself just absolutely riveted by what he put together here. One of those things that came out of left field, and I just said, and then as I started reading it, I just got so engrossed. So people who are gun enthusiasts, and I'm assuming that that's a large percentage of your listeners, I have to say, check out 365 Guns You Must Shoot by T.J. Mullen, M-U-L-L-I-N. It is just an absolutely fascinating, you know, piece.
It sounds like it. And I was thinking, you know, one of the major sponsors here at the radio station where we are is one of those gun. It's a gun range, and can you imagine the successful gun range you would have if you had 365 different guns lined up at the counter as you were coming in and said, "Okay, every day you can fire one of these things."
And I think you shoot a different one.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying like, for a gun enthusiast, that would be heaven.
I would be there.
I think I might even do that myself. All right.
Okay, and the second one is this wonderful children's book called "Someday I'll Fly." The illustrations are just absolutely captivating. It's the story about this girl during World War II and how she encounters, you know, these women pilots, you know, who are doing the ferrying of airplanes, you know, from U.S. to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a charming story of coming of age. And the illustrations are just absolutely wonderful. The artist is Rebecca Effens, and she extracted a segment of my past predecessor Joyce Faulkner's book,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do this thing. And the book is "Someday I'll Fly" by Rebecca Effens.
Okay.
And now I have to talk about my book.
Okay. So tell me about this little book that you've got that's coming out pretty soon about some guy with Have Gun Will Travel.
No, Have Gun Will Travel is someone else.
That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's Paladin.
Yes.
I get lost all these things. Wanted Dead or Alive.
Wanted Dead or Alive, which you got correctly earlier in the program.
Steve McQueen,
Full Throttle Cool.
There you go. I read it last night. It's really cool. That is a really cool.
Thank you. Oh, I had so much fun. This is a graphic biography of the actor and racer Steve McQueen, and I had so much fun putting this thing together. Background for me, early in my career, I was a biker. I had a Norton 850 Commando. And I traveled across the country on this thing.
Oh, my. This is a side of Dwight that we never knew.
Yeah. I've been around, done a variety of things. I haven't been shot at in combat, you know.
That's all right.
I can't say
riding a motorcycle.
I can't say that I regret not being shot at in combat.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Being serious, this was a wonderful project. My artist on the book, Greg Scott, did an excellent job. It tells his story from childhood to, you know, his death from asbestos cancer. And what I discovered, you know, as I was doing the research and everything, biographies of Steve McQueen tended to fall into one of two groups. Hollywood-based, they would focus on the acting and then do a summary of his racing career.
Mm-hmm.
The gearhead side would focus on the racing and then do a summary of his acting career. This book, I think, and Dale, you'll have to tell me, tried to give a balance of, I won't say 50-50 exactly, but to give it equal time.
Well, I found the thing that was most interesting to me was his personal background. I mean, I don't think too many people knew that Steve McQueen was in the Marines, for one thing.
Right.
And I don't think probably too many people knew of his really terrible, terrible family life growing up, and you know how he eventually was able to pull himself up and you know have a successful career, but he always liked to live on the edge. Obviously, I mean, if you're racing motorcycles and racing cars and everything else that he ended up doing, and I think probably his family upbringing probably led him to a little bit more of that reckless behavior. more than anything.
You're quite right there. And it's the reform school that he went to that really turned him around. And I was asked, in another interview, what surprised me most, in doing the story. And I have to say, it was his charitable work.
Mm-hmm.
That only came out after his death. And he was really involved in it. To the extent that in his last movie, he wound up adopting this girl who was like an extra on the set.
Mm-hmm.
Because her mother, he found out her mother was dying, and the father, of course, no one knew where he was.
Right.
And that's just one of many examples that he did. He could very well easily have wound up dying young in a gang-related, killing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, some things happened, luckily, that put him on the right path, and he wound up doing a huge success, and I'm happy to say that he recognized his obligation to others, the reform school, and he contributed a lot of money and materials to, did talks, visited repeatedly. There were other aspects, other things that he did. I was really impressed. It's a short book, so obviously we didn't get into detail, but I'm happy to say that if you read this book, you will find out an awful lot about him, and I'm hoping that it causes people to say, well, if I want to know more, then they can go to the other books that go into far more depth.
Right, and I think that the story, to me, again, was fascinating because I don't think people realize, his career, of course, we all know about, certain of his movies like Bullet and The Great Escape and so forth, but I don't think, all of these actors that start out just doing whatever they can for a job, and in fact, the thing that surprised me the most, and I guess this is just doing Trivial Pursuit, was the idea that Robert Culp was one of the actors that got him into Wanted Dead or Alive. Wanted Dead or Alive. And
right.
That the whole thing is, it really does come down almost to who you know and when you know them.
It's timing. It's luck. My biggest challenge was finding the, elements, that, set this thing up because I had a page count restriction. So
mm-hmm.
It was really, yeah, it was a challenge to put this whole thing together, and I'm glad that you like it.
It was fun. It was fun to read, and again, for people of our generation, it's sort of like a Classics Illustrated with, the pictures to go along with the dialogue, and it's a good read. It's, obviously, as Dwight has pointed out, it's not a long read, but it gives you the essence, I think, of Steve McQueen, and there's a lot more to him than I think most of us knew about. So there's your plug for him. We need to talk about some other books. I want to get people on. I guess I should ask you, though, when is this book being published?
It's out now.
Okay. Where do we get it?
You can get it at your favorite bookstore, I hope, but also at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Barnes & Noble, it is widely available.
Okay. So it's a book that we can take to the beach. That's the point, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, I've got a couple of books that I wanted to that I've gotten from you folks over the years that I want to mention here too. Number one was A Thousand Letters Home, and this is one of the stories that I talked about before, where a woman, her name is Teresa Irish, and she found a box of her dad's letters back and forth from World War II. Just a a really wonderful story and about a wonderful man and his life and so forth. And so I would encourage people to look for that. And this is a local Michigan story. So it's called A Thousand Letters Home. Another one that I've read more than once and I always recommend to people is Out of the Mist by Mike Mullins, Michael Moon Mullins, who both of you know very well. And it's just a good guy, and his stories are so meaningful and really powerful, I find them, and that's called Out of the Mist. Another one by one of your members that I read and give away quite often is A Tear in the Desert by Father Ron Camarda. And this is a story of a young priest who is in Iraq, and his job is around a medical facility, and how he helps people, ministers to people, and how he tries to figure out how to take care of himself while he's there. A charming man, I think an excellent author, and just somebody, whenever you need to feel good, read his book or call him. He's one of those guys that makes you feel good all the time. And the other one that I got a couple of emails from people, so I have to mention these. One was The Rescue of Streetcar 304. And this was by, where did this come from? This came from Kenny Wayne Fields, and he was on our program a number of years ago. And this is a story. He was a pilot, a Navy A-7 pilot who got shot down over Laos and spent 40 hours on the ground before he was, I'm not going to give it away. But it talks about his adventures on the ground and how he survived that 40 hours. So the name of that book is The Rescue of Streetcar 304. It's a great war story, if you want to call that. I've got more. If you guys have any, just jump in. Let me know what you want to do.
I could talk until the cows come home.
I know, but we've only got about 7 minutes, so we got to really.
Well, Dale, if you don't mind, I could just put a quick plug in for my book that just came out too.
Do that, please.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I have 6 books out in the Jim West Mystery Series, and it's really the series that I think helped get me awarded the Author of the Year for Military Writers Society in 2013. The newest book, it just came out earlier this year, is called Caffeine Can Kill. It's about my main character, Jim West, traveling to Fredericksburg to attend a friend's wedding, or not wedding, a grand opening to his winery. And at the Starbucks there, or called a Starbucks clone, because they don't really have a Starbucks in Fredericksburg. He witnesses a brutal kidnapping of a young lady, and basically from there his vacation and the trip and the grand opening all go downhill. But it's just another murder mystery. It takes place in the Texas Hill Country, actually the wine country, they call it, Texas Wine Trail, between Fredericksburg and Austin. And just recommend anyone who likes a good mystery to check it out. It's called Caffeine Can Kill.
Caffeine Can Kill. I might have to check that one out myself.
All right.
Then I'll just quickly interject. Uncommon Valor, my book, Uncommon Valor, The Medal of Honor and the Warriors Who Earned It in Afghanistan and Iraq. Dale, you know this book, and I won the Founders Award from Military Writers Society of America. Mm-hmm. I have to say, this is the book that I...
Put you on the map.
All the books that I've written, this is what I'm proudest of. I've told stories of these extraordinary young men, and included for the first time ever the complete history of the Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's my proudest effort.
It's a great read, and it makes you feel so proud to be part of this country where these men, in this case, were raised, and they weren't all native born Americans. That's a thing to pay attention to. Have you thought about updating it with the newest receivers of the Medal of Honor?
Well, when we did do an update when the trade paperback edition was included, was being put together, because that was where we had the first living recipient, Salvador Gunta, and managed to get that in. But beyond that, the publisher just said, okay, this is good.
Move on, right?
Yeah, let's move on.
Well, I think
we
got
to
do.
We were so happy to be able to at least and the paperback edition include a couple of additional recipients, specifically the first living recipient since the Vietnam War.
Right. Well, and I encourage people to go out and look at it. It's a great story. I mean, just to get the background on the Medal of Honor is it's important to know why it's so important. And all of the men that I have met so far that are Medal of Honor recipients, they are so humbled by the award and also humbled by the fact that they represent all the ones that didn't come home. And so it's a very, very important award to get. And I think it comes with a lot of responsibility to these,
yes,
to these
you're
men.
Quite right there. It's like they say they're not accepting it for themselves. It's for those who died, I have to say, and I told you this, in the past, there were times where I'm getting to the point, because most of these guys, it was posthumous, and there mm-hmm. I am getting to the moment of their death, and the tears are just coming down my cheeks, and I had to just walk away for a while and just compose myself and then just go back in there. That's what I'm saying. It was the most difficult, but at the same time, the most moving and uplifting experience that I've had in writing.
It's powerful, Dwight. Any of the stories that you read about these men and women who die in the service of their country, they're always so gut-wrenching that whether it's for an award or it's just the way that you guys write and many of the members of your association, the way that you write, it just will bring tears to anybody's eyes who read about what these men and women have gone through and the sacrifices that they made, including the ultimate sacrifice. And it makes you realize how valuable life is. And so I encourage, our audience to go to the Military Writers Society of America, go to their website, and click on the book reviews. Because I'm just sitting here while you guys are going through talking about these books, and I'm going, okay, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one. And, because there's the stories just sound, even the reviews in there, there's one that's called Country. I was looking for one that I saw that Bob did. Oh, I've got a listener who wants you to repeat the name of the Steve McQueen book. Dwight, you're on for a minute.
Steve McQueen, Full Throttle Cool.
There you go. Steve McQueen, Full Throttle Cool by Dwight Zimmerman. And you can find it on Amazon.com or at Barnes & Noble, or hopefully at some point we'll get it up on our website, which reminds people, many of the books that we've talked about will be up in our bookstore as soon as we can get them up there. But you can just go to veteransradio.net, click on the bookstore, and there's many of them that are listed there, and some of the other ones that I've mentioned that are not necessarily part of the military writers. But those of you that are listening about writing books, I was just looking in here. They have a book on how to write a book.
Right.
So that's cool.
Dale,
yes.
Can I interject? You asked earlier where they could find the reading list. If you just go to the search block there and put in reading list and click on that, it'll pull up past reading lists.
Okay. We got about 2 minutes to go. So, Bob, I'm going to ask you for your final comments here on books that you think that people might enjoy.
Oh, there's so many out there. It's hard for me to pick out one or two. Literally, like I said, hit the reading list or just hit the books that are on there, and you can pick many of them out. There's ones on POW camps. There's one specialized on people, biographies on famous people. The whole gamut is on the list and written by the authors. And I would ask people, if they're interested, they can join, not even be an author. If they just like to come and listen to the conferences and learn more about writing and the military history.
I think it's great. Dwight, I'm going to finish up with you. So tell me, I got 1 minute. You got about 30 seconds. So where's the conference this year?
The conference is at Phoenix.
And when is that?
At the end of September.
Okay.
And looking forward to it. I would just simply add, anyone who wants to know about some books, you go to mwsadispatches.com. could click on the review, reading list, reviews. We got great books there, and
there you go. Nope, there's the music. So we got to go, folks. So thank you to Dwight Zimmerman. Thank you to Bob Doerr for being on Veterans Radio this week. Enjoy your summer, everybody. I hope that you find a great book that you enjoy. Next week is benefits, benefits, benefits. If you have a question about benefits, you better tune in. That's an order. Until then, you are dismissed.